Today I want to talk about one of the most interesting topics to me, and it's a little bit different than what we normally do for the afternoon kol. It's a little bit less lumdus, a little bit more hashkafa, but I think you'll see there's a reason why we're doing it coming up to Shavuos, and hopefully it'll give you a new appreciation for many of the things that we're going to talk about as it comes to the holiday of Kabbalah Satorah. So again, I want to give you all a tremendous yisher koach. I know it's not easy, certainly in this weather, to make the time for learning. But again, Hashem should shower you all with much bracha and nachas for all of your efforts. I am going to share my screen so you can see my source sheets. I know that Rabbi Shabtai also posted them online, and hopefully with that, we will all be able to learn together. One of the central questions that surrounds Matan Torah is Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the luchos. If you look here in source number one, we read the story, and we all know that Klal Yisrael sin with the Chet HaEgel, and as Moshe Rabbeinu is coming down, he hears this sound. He doesn't exactly know what it is. There's a very strange conversation between him and Yehoshua, which is for another time. And yet, Pasuk 19, Pasuk Yates, the Pasuk tells us, Vayhi kasher karav el machaneh, as Moshe Rabbeinu comes close to the people, Vayaras Egel Mcholos, he sees this party, he sees his Egel, Vaycharaf Moshe Vaishlach, Vayashlech Miadav Esaluchos, Vayishaber Osam Tachazar. Moshe Rabbeinu, seemingly in a fit of rage, takes these luchos and he throws them to the ground, and then subsequently he breaks the Egel. Says Rashi over there, Vayashlech Miadav, Amar, Moshe Rabbeinu made a calculation. Ma Pesach Shu Echad Mina Mitzvos. Korban Pesach, which is just one of the mitzvos, and yet the Torah says, Kol ben nechar lo yochobo, that any stranger is not allowed to partake of it. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, HaTorah, Kula Kan, here you have the entire Torah. V'chol Yisrael Mishumadim, and the entire Jewish people are Mishumadim. In other words, they rejected Hashem, ve'anana lahem, and I'm going to give them the Torah. Essentially, Moshe Rabbeinu makes a calculation in his head. He says, if for one mitzvah you weren't allowed to give it to an unworthy person, then certainly, al achas kama v'kama, you should not be able to give it to an unworthy people. And if you stop the shiur right there, and we call this quits after 2.5 minutes, very early for Rabbi Olovsky, but if we were to do that, we would come to a very interesting conclusion, somewhat, I would say, even an obvious conclusion. And that obvious conclusion is that Moshe Rabbeinu did this in a fit of rage, and he did it as an indictment of the Jewish people. He comes to Klal Yisrael and he says, what you did was wrong, and as a result of what you did was wrong, you're unworthy of receiving the Torah. And yet, we know that that is not how history judges this act of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you come all the way down here, these are the last three psukim of the entire Torah. V'lo kam naviod b'Yisrael k'moshe asher yadu Adonai panim al panim. There was never someone like Moshe who knew God face to face. L'chol ha'osos v'amosim, all the miracles and the wonders that Moshe Rabbeinu had performed. U'l'chol ha'yada chazaka, l'chol ha'mara gadol, and the mighty hand, the great, all these amazing things that asher asa Moshe, le'enei kol Yisrael, that he did in front of the eyes of the Jewish people. Now, if we just read this pasuk al pipshat, I would assume that al le'enei kol Yisrael, that having done this in the eyes of the entire Jewish people is modifying everything that we had done before that. It's the Osos, it's the Mosim, it's the Yad Chazaka. In other words, all of the miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu had performed throughout their time in Mitzrayim, throughout their time in the desert, he did it in front of the entire people. In other words, it was to model and to serve as a lesson for the entire people. And yet Rashi, over there, at the end of the Torah, drops a bombshell on this entire topic. Says Rashi, le'enei kol Yisrael, shenasu libo lishbor haluchos le'enehem. What exactly are we talking about here? Not the miracles, not dam, svardeya, kinim, not drawing water from a well. None of that's what we're talking about. Rather, what are we talking about that he did in front of the eyes of the entire Jewish people? That he broke the luchos. And not only that, says Rashi, v'iskimu dasa kadosh baruch ledato. Not only did Moshe Rabbeinu break the luchos, but Hashem agreed with him. Shenemar, Asher Shibarta, one of the most famous Rashi's in all of Torah, that which you broke the luchos, Yasher Koach Sheshibarta. Hashem, Kaviyachol, sticks out his hand and says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to give you, this is, again, Hashem doesn't have COVID, he's allowed to shake Moshe Rabbeinu's hand, and he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, a Agroisa Yasher Koach, wonderful, beautiful job. And it's an obvious question, the million-dollar question that we're going to deal with today, is even if you want to argue that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos in a fit of rage to teach Klal Yisrael a lesson, what is this Yasher Koach? Why is that the lasting message of the Torah? Right? Even if you want to argue that what Moshe Rabbeinu did was a virtuous act, the last pasuk in the Torah, Moshe's final will and essentially the greatest thing he's going to be remembered by, and what does the Torah say Moshe Rabbeinu is getting remembered by? Yasher Koach, not for receiving the Torah, not for the miracles in Mitzrayim, not for the miracles in the desert, not for putting up with a stiff-necked people, none of that. What does Hashem say is the thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be remembered by? Yasher Koach, Moshe. This is the last thing you're going to be known for, that you broke the Luchos. What is it about breaking of the Luchos that is so central to the Torah, that according to Rashi, the very final thing the Torah tells us, literally the last pasuk in the entire Torah, is Hashem giving Moshe Rabbeinu a Yasher Koach for breaking the Luchos. Now again, if we were in a class, and this was more of an informal setting, I would ask you for your suggestions. But instead, I will suggest three of my own. Each one, I think, has merits, and each one, I think, will usher us into the holiday of Shavuos in a very different way. And again, as you see, we're not going to see all the sources here. You're welcome to peruse them on your own. The first suggestion comes from the Midrash, in source number 6, Shmos Rabbah. The Midrash says the following. What is it that Moshe Rabbeinu did? Says the Midrash, Lama Hadavar Domeh. What can this be compared to? Lisar Sheshalach Lakadesh Isha Imasar Sur. A king sends his messenger to betroth another woman. Halach. So the messenger, we'll call him Jimmy. Jimmy goes Vikilkala Imacher. Right? And what happens? The woman, she had compromised herself with another man. In other words, she was no longer worthy of the king. Ma'asa, so what does Jimmy do? Natal es ksubasa shenasan lahasar lekacha. He takes the ksuba that the king had given Jimmy to betroth this other woman with, vikara, and he rips it in half. And what's the calculation he makes? Mutav shetadon kipnuya velo keishas ish. If the woman is going to act inappropriately, she might as well do it as a pnuya, in other words, as a single lady, and not as a married woman, which of course we know is much worse. Says the Medrash, the Nimshal Kach Asa Moshe. This is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Kevin Shasa Yisrael Osa Maisa. That since Klal Yisrael essentially was unfaithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Natal Asa Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu took the Luchos, which is the Ksuba, essentially, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vishavran, and he shatters them. Va'od Amar Moshe, Moshe says, Mutav Nidonim Kishogim, it's better that they do this accidentally instead of doing it on purpose. In other words, it's better that they don't have the Torah in front of them. Kolomar, so Moshe Rabbeinu makes a calculation. He's essentially protecting the Jewish people, says the Medrash. And therefore, if you take the Medrash to the next logical conclusion, what is it that Moshe Rabbeinu gets a Yasher Koach for at the conclusion of the Torah? What is the final farewell that the Torah gives to Moshe Rabbeinu? It's as if Hashem is telling him, Yasher Koach Moshe, you protected the Jewish people. Throughout your entire life, you looked out for them. You gave up of your own kavod on their behalf. And no matter how painful and miserable it must have been for you to have broken the Luchos, think about how difficult that must have been for Moshe Rabbeinu. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu does it because he doesn't care about himself. He consistently displays a sense of selflessness on behalf of the Jewish people. And so says the Medrash, by Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Luchos, he is protecting Klal Yisrael. Hashem gives him a Yasher Koach because it's as if Hashem is saying, great job, Moshe. Throughout your entire life, you were defined by your humility. You were defined by your willingness to give up and sacrifice yourself on behalf of the Jewish people. This was simply no different. Medrash elsewhere in Shmos Rabbah says something very similar. This is 3 Prakim later. A little bit different, but similar. Rosh Ein Li Yisrael Amida V'chibur Nafsho Imahem. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the writing on the wall, and he saw immediately that Hashem was going to destroy the Jewish people. He knew that the Jewish people had no leg to stand on whatsoever. Here we were moments after Kabbalah Satorah, moments after Har Sinai and Klal Yisrael commit an egregious act of sin. An egregious act. They were unfaithful to Hashem. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He sees, Klal Yisrael is about to be in a lot of trouble. So what does he do? He connects himself with the faith, of the Jewish people. V'chiber nafsho imahem, he connects himself with them. V'shiber as aluchos, and he breaks the luchos. Hashem says to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you doing? You just spent 40 days and 40 nights up here on Har Sinai receiving the luchos. You go down there and you're breaking it? Amar la Kadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, yeah, I'll tell you why I just broke the luchos. Heim chatu v'ani chatasi. They sinned, and you know what, Hashem, I also sinned. I'm no better than any of them. Sheshibarti haluchos, and by breaking the luchos. Imochel atalahem, if you're going to forgive them, afli mechol, then you forgive me too. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, don't think you are going to treat me any differently than you are going to treat them. And even though I might be your guy, I might be the guy, lo kam bi Yisrael kamo she'od, it doesn't matter. My fate is inextricably, eternally linked with the fate of the Jewish people. And if you think that they're sinners, Hashem, know very well that I'm a sinner as well. And if you were willing to forgive me, then you have to be willing to forgive them as well. Medrash is similar, but different than the previous Medrash, in the sense that Moshe is once again protecting the Jewish people. He's essentially telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm willing to go down with the ship. And despite the fact that you are willing to tell me that you'll destroy the Jewish people and restart a nation through me, Moshe Rabbeinu says, no dice. I am not interested. As they go, I go. And of course, you see undertones of this in Megillas Rus. So Medrash in source number 6 and Medrash in source number 7 are different, but also very similar. What is the commonality? Why does Hashem give Moshe Rabbeinu a tremendous yeshakoach? Says both Midrashim very simply. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was expressing his selflessness, his willingness to go down with the ship and connect himself with the Jewish people. He's willing to break the luchos to protect the Jewish people. And so Hashem, at the end of the Torah, don't forget Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know. Was I virtuous? Was I sinful? Did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? So at the very end of the Torah, Hashem looks at Moshe Rabbeinu and says, you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu, yasher koach. Because even though what you did was very difficult, and even though what you did was hard and very selfless, I want you to know, yasher koach, you did the right thing. Because you did what was best on behalf of Klal Yisrael. What greater testimony can there be about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu than the very last word of the Torah that he had received from Hashem that bears his name, called Toras Moshe, is by Hashem telling him, I want you to know, Moshe, you did the right thing. You should never have any doubts about the way you treated Klal Yisrael, about what you did by breaking the luchos. That is suggestion number 1. Two beautiful midrashim, different, but also very similar. Suggestion number 2 comes from the Meshech Chachma. It is arguably my all-time favorite Meshech Chachma because it answers many story plots in the Torah, and I also believe it is psychologically intuitive and critical for our day and age. Says the Meshech Chachma, I'll tell it to you outside and then we'll read parts of it inside. What was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking when he broke the luchos? Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Meshech Chachma, made a very simple calculation in his head. He saw that the Jewish people were nervous and anxious that Moshe Rabbeinu had not yet come down from Har Sinai. They miscalculated, we know that. They missed the time. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu should have come down. He doesn't come down. They think he's dead. And so what do they immediately resort to? A replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu. A replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Klal Yisrael were so connected to physical representations of the divine that when they see that Moshe Rabbeinu is missing, they panic and they said, we need something to replace him. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that and says to himself, that cannot be. Physical representations in this world, physical enterprises in this world are not ends in and of themselves. They are means to an end. But if you mistake the mean for the end, that becomes very dangerous. And so Moshe Rabbeinu looks at the Luchos and he says, if Klal Yisrael is so dependent on physical connections to Hashem, he breaks the Luchos. And by doing so, he shows the Jewish people that they will never be dependent on a physical intermediary or a physical representation of Hashem. The only thing they need is themselves. The only thing they need is themselves. Says the Meshech Chachma, that Moshe Rabbeinu sees that Klal Yisrael are dependent on physical representations, physical connections with the Almighty. Again, God is infinite. We can't feel Him or smell Him or see Him. So it's very hard to relate to Him. And so throughout history, there have been those who have yearned for a physical representation or a physical intermediary with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'al zeh, says the Meshech Chachma, to this, Tzavach Moshe Kichruvia, Moshe Rabbeinu screams from the mountaintop. And he says the following, Hayim tidmu ki ani inyan, veze kedusha bilti mitzvas Hashem. Do you think I'm anything? Do you think I have any mystical, magical powers? Ad ki be'adar kvodi asisim lacham egel, so much so that when I was missing for just a few short hours, you were so dependent on that that you needed to make an egel? Chalila, says Moshe Rabbeinu, God forbid. Gamani ish kemochem. I am man, flesh and blood, just like you. V'atora eina t'luya bi. You don't need me. The Torah is not dependent on me. V'af im lo basi, ha'isator mitzios bili shum shinoi chalila. And even if I never existed, says the Meshech Chachma about Moshe Rabbeinu, if Moshe Rabbeinu never existed, there wouldn't be a pagam in the Torah whatsoever. Now already you can see why the Meshech Chachma viewed this as such a central, critical issue. Because we know that there were religions throughout history that fell prey to this very problem, right? Think about Christianity. Christianity saw a divine, infinite God, and they recognized that for people, they needed something to connect, a physical entity, to be able to connect with Hashem, to serve as an intermediary with Hashem. And that's where you have the formulation of Christianity. Says the Meshech Chachma, well, that didn't start with Christianity. That misnomer, that misplaced theology already finds itself in Matan Torah, in the aftermath of Matan Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't come down. Klal Yisrael says, wait a second, Moshe Rabbeinu's not here. What are we going to do without a person? What are we going to do without a physical representation? Something physically that you and I can see and feel and touch that enables us to connect with Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. Don't ever make that mistake. Your relationship with Hashem is never dependent upon one person, and it's never dependent on a physical object. The Meshech Chachma goes on and he says, Ve'al tidmu, and don't mistake, ki amikdash ve'amishkan heim einyanim kedoshim me'atzmum chalila. And even though throughout our history we had physical manifestations or physical expressions and physical ways to connect to Hashem, like the Beis HaMikdash and like the Mikdash, Mishkan, says the Meshech Chachma, don't you ever think that those were kadosh in themselves. You know what gave the Beis HaMikdash Kedusha? Not the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash. What gave the Beis HaMikdash Kedusha was that Hashem resided in the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem Yisbarach Shorah B'Soch Banav. It was that Hashem dwelled amongst us. And how do we know that? Because the moment Hashem extracted Himself from the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Titus, right, what happens? V'tituch nichnas l'kodesh kodashim v'zona imo v'lo nizok. Titus was able to go into the Kodesh Kodashim with a prostitute, and nothing happened to him. How could that be? Says the Meshech Chachma, very simple. Ki husar kedusha so, because the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash had been removed when Hashem removed Himself from the Beis HaMikdash. And then you know what it was? It was simply brick and mortar. It was a building. There's nothing more than that. Don't think that the Beis HaMikdash has inherent, innate kedusha. It only had a kedusha because Hashem was there. Says the Meshech Chachma, the Torah is the exact same way. He goes on to say, V'yosem yizeh haluchos michtav elokim. Don't think that the luchos had any inherent kedusha to them. You know what gave them kedusha? The fact that they were michtav elokim, that they contained within them the Torah HaKadosha. Gam heim ha'inam kedoshim ba'atzmam. Those, whatever they were, let's say stones, didn't have any inherent, innate kedusha in and of themselves. Rather, what is it? Says the Meshe Chachma, right? Rak bishvilchem. V'kashir zanta kala besochu basa. Hema nechshavim l'nivlei cheresh. Right? When you sinned, and you defiled that relationship with Hashem, so those luchos became stone again. Vein behem kedusha mitzad atzmam. When I broke them, there was no kedusha in them. That had already been extracted. The only thing that gave them kedusha was you guys. And so says the Meshe Chachma, sof davar, ein shuminyam kadosh ba'olam miyuchas lo ha'avoda v'achnia v'rak Hashem yisparach shmohu kadosh b'mitziyuso ha'mechuyeves. Right? There is no physical being that has kedusha irrespective of the kedusha that Hashem gives to it. And so says the Meshe Chachma, an idea that is incredibly central to Judaism, that is central to our theology, and so central is it to our theology that we see that this was one of the breaking points with other religions. The Meshe Chachma says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that there was a flaw in the theology of the Jewish people, that they were becoming overly dependent on a physical connection with the divine. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu as the intermediary, as the mechanism to be able to connect to Hashem. And the moment Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there, they panicked. And so they sought to find another physical mechanism to connect to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu sees that and says, whoa, 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 whoa. All bets are off right now. He takes the luchos, he shatters them to the ground. And he says, you want to know how little your relationship with Hashem depends on any physical item? See those luchos which contain the Torah Hashem just gave me? They're shattered, they're gone. You don't need them. You don't need them for your relationship with Hashem. So too for the Mikdash. So too for the Mishkan. Don't think it's dependent upon me. Don't think it's dependent on a physical entity. It's dependent on you in your relationship with Hashem. Now, parenthetically, the Meshe Chachma is telling this in the context of, he repeats this idea, I should say, in the context of a different conversation, and that is the Chet Marag, the Chet Mei Meriva. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, hits the rock, and Hashem says, you're not going to the land of Israel. And all the Mefarshim wonder, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do that was so egregious by hitting a rock that didn't allow him to go into the land of Israel? And so says the Meshe Chachma, he repeats this idea, and he says, you want to know what made that sin so grievous? It was what was the story before it. Right? What happens right before Parshas Chukas? Parshas Korach. Parshas Korach points out the Meshe Chachma as the very first time in the entire Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu performs a miracle on his own that is not directly commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every other miracle that he performs in Egypt, in the desert, it's Hashem tells him to do something, Moshe Rabbeinu does it. There's no mistaking that. Everyone knows who's in charge, Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu is simply the messenger. Comes along Parshas Korach, and Korach threatens the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he does this whole miracle with the fire and the pans. You can read it over there. Hashem says, okay, I let you do a miracle there on your own. It was not directly, expressly written by me. Comes along the next parsha. What's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do? He's supposed to reinforce in the hearts and minds of Klal Yisrael that it's not him, it's Hashem. And when he then does another miracle on his own that is not expressly told over by Hashem, it simply reinforces in Klal Yisrael's minds that it's Moshe Rabbeinu that's the miracle worker and not necessarily Hashem. That's when Hashem comes along and says, Moshe, it's time to go. You cannot be the leader who leads the Jewish people into the land of Israel. They are too dependent on you. They have deified you. And therefore, it's time to go. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes in Halachic Man, he says this beautifully. He says, the thrust of halacha is democratic from beginning to end. The halacha declares that any religion that confines itself to some remote corner, to an elite sect or faction, will give rise to a destructive consequences that far outweigh any putative gains. A religious ideology that fixes boundaries and sets up dividing lines between peoples, borders on heresy. If a religion declares that God is close to Reuben and remote from Shimon is gravely culpable, no person, according to halacha, needs the aid of others in order to approach God. A person needs no advocates or special pleaders. Every individual is assured by the halacha that whenever he will knock at the gates of heaven, they will be opened before him. And just as halacha rejects the notion of human intercessors, so too it rejects the notion of transcendental intercessors such as angels or seraphim. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, and again, this is again part of a broader conversation, but says Rabbi Soloveitchik, you should never think in Judaism that any one person is better than anybody else. That you need any one person in order to connect to the divine. Think about other religions that have subscribed to a very similar idea. In Christianity, I need an individual in order to be able to connect to God. Judaism says the Rav is the furthest from that ideology. In Judaism, every single one of us, man, adult, male, female, every single one of us has the capacity, the capability to connect directly with our Creator. Now, the Rav is telling this in the context of angels. Right? We don't believe we need angels to carry our prayers before Hashem. And that's why the Briskers, I know it's the Minhag in BRS, we leave out the Machnisei Rachmim section of Slichos, because we don't believe we need the angels to bring our Tfilos before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Briskers very famously take out the Barchuni L'Shalom section of Shalom Aleichem on Friday nights, because again, I don't need the angels to bless me. I can have a relationship directly with Hashem. But says the Meshech Chachma, this is exactly why Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchos to tell the Jewish people, you don't need an intermediary. You don't need anything or anyone to connect you with Hashem. All you need is to look heavenwards and to start talking to Him. Why then, if you take the Meshech Chachma to the next logical step, why is it the very last thing that Hashem says in the Torah? Le'inei kol Yisrael, yashakoyach Moshe, you broke the luchos. Because Moshe Rabbeinu taught that Klal Yisrael, a fundamental, foundational, critically important, philosophical concept. And that is that as Moshe Rabbeinu is about to depart from the scene, don't think it was ever about him. Don't think it was ever about physical representation or physical connection. All you need is to be a person with a heart beating, and you can connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's idea number one. Idea number two. Idea number one was the Medrashim, that the whole reason Moshe got a Yeshikoach was because he protected Klal Yisrael. He defiantly told Hashem with an enormous amount of chutzpah, I'm going down with the ship. Idea number two was the Meshech Chachma. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu get a Yeshikoach? Because it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, says to Klal Yisrael, he teaches them this critical lesson, that it's not about me, it's about Hashem and your relationship with Him. What greater message to finish off the Torah with. And lastly, I want to share with you another beautiful idea from Rav Futner. Futner in his Pachad Yitzchak on Chanukah introduces us to the idea as follows. And I'll say it in Hebrew, and then I will translate it and expound upon it. Says Rav Futner, we have an idea that, where's the line? That through Bittul Torah, you actually come to the preservation of Torah. Bitula zohi kiyuma. Bitula through Bittul Torah, zohi kiyuma, that actually is what allows Torah to sustain itself throughout all generations. What does that mean? Says Rav Futner the following. Pa'amim shebitula shel Torah zehu kiyuma shenemar asher shibarta yasher koach shibarta. Right? Through Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Luchos, it actually caused the preservation of the Luchos. He says in the next underline, Ki efshar la Torah shenisrabe al yidei shichas haTorah. That counterintuitively, the Torah can actually be supported, there can be more Torah learned through the initial forgetfulness of the Torah. Now how does that happen? How does that apply itself to our case? Well, what happens as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Luchos? Again, Moshe Rabbeinu gets the first set of Luchos. Chazal tells us, what were those first set of Luchos? That was Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, right? The written Torah essentially was Moshe Rabbeinu handing us a playbook on a silver platter. It's like reading an art scroll book. It doesn't take a lot of effort, right? Hashem says the Torah, Moshe takes the Torah, and he gives it over to the Jewish people. Not a lot of chachma involved in that. What happens, says Chazal, as a result of Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up again to Har Sinai. When he comes down on Yom Kippur with the second set of Luchos, Chazal point out from the Torah that it's Michtav Adam, that it's Moshe Rabbeinu this time who transcribes the Torah on his own. Mankind participates with Hashem, so to speak, in that process. And as a result of that, says Chazal, we get Torah Shebaal Peh. Right, Torah Shebichsav is Hashem handing it to us on a silver platter. Torah Shebaal Peh is our involvement, our toil, our own understanding of the Torah and its application to every single generation. As a result of Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Torah, something amazing happened. You and I get Torah Shebaal Peh. Think about what your relationship with Torah would be if it was just Torah Shebichsav. Think about your relationship with halacha when you just learn an art scroll book. It's wonderful. I'm not knocking art scroll. It's a great contribution to Judaism. But you don't remember it very well, right? You read a book, it's in one ear, out the other. Sometimes you pick something up along the way. But when you break your teeth over something, when you toil in something, when you work incredibly hard at something, it becomes a part of you. It becomes part of your DNA. You find yourself talking about it all the time to everyone you bump into on the street. Oh, let me tell you a little chiddush. Let me tell you something I learned. Let me run something by you. And so actually says Rav Huttner that by Moshe Rabbeinu breaking the Torah, he gifted us something incredible, and that's called Torah Shebaal Peh. And Torah Shebaal Peh enabled the sustainment, the dynamism of Torah Judaism throughout so many thousands of years and throughout so many years of exile. And so Pa'amim Shebitula Shel Torah, it was the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu shattered the Torah, Zohi Kiyuma, it's actually what enabled the preservation of Torah throughout so many years of exile and hardship. Why, says the Meshechach, why says Rav Huttner, is that the very last thing that the Torah tells us? Yeshikoyach Moshe, great job that you broke the Luchos. Because what is that last pasuk in the Torah, the transition point between? It's the transition point between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And so Hashem looks at Moshe Rabbeinu and says, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshikoyach, I know it was probably not an easy decision to break the Luchos. And I'm sure you had an enormous amount of self-doubt about whether or not you did the right thing. But I want you to know, Yeshikoyach, because as a result of what you did, Klal Yisrael will be enabled to have something called Torah Shebaal Peh. We'll have Mishnayos and Gemara and Midrashim and Gaonim and Rishonim and Achronim. We'll have the Milchamta Shel Torah for 3,500 years. And it's Dafka, that Milchamta Shel Torah. It's Dafka, me sitting opposite a Chavrusa and battling out the Torah, which actually has enabled it to survive, and not only that, but thrive for so many years. And so I shared with you a bombshell kasha, which is why is it that the Torah, why Moshe Rabbeinu was given a yashakoach for breaking the luchos, and I offered three suggestions. Suggestion number one was very simple, that Moshe Rabbeinu was protecting the Jewish people. Hashem was giving him a yashakoach for his selflessness. Reason number two is that beautiful Meshech Chachma, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that Klal Yisrael was becoming too dependent on physical expressions of Judaism, of physical connections to Hashem. And so Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos. He says, no, let me make it clear. Your relationship with Hashem was never dependent and is never dependent on anything or anyone. That beautiful idea from the Rav, you don't need any intermediaries. You don't need any physical angel or person or entity to be able to connect you with Hashem. All you need is to look up to the heavens and start talking to Him. And lastly, and I think beautifully, this amazing Rav Huttner, that why does Moshe Rabbeinu get a yeshikoach? Because by breaking the luchos, he counterintuitively enables the survival of Torah throughout history, and that is by enabling the process called Torah Shebaal Peh. That when you and I learn together, and when you and I battle over the Torah, we actually make it part of our own. It ingrains it into our DNA. And so Hashem says to Moshe, Yeshikoach, I know the decision wasn't easy, but as a result of it, something truly magnificent happened. And that is the preservation, survival, and thriving of Torah throughout so many years of exile. So again, I tried to share with you three different interpretations why Moshe Rabbeinu gets a Yeshikoach. As a result, it should take us into Kabbalah Satorah with a renewed appreciation, with a renewed energy for what Moshe Rabbeinu represented, what he did, and what our Torah means to us. And with that, we should all have a Chag Sameach. And again, most importantly, stay healthy and stay safe.